Hi, welcome to episode 5 of Comic Book Menace. I'm your host, Dave Elliott. And why is it whenever I go to the post office, I end up standing in line behind someone who has never been to a post office before? Can I buy stamps here? I'm mailing this package. Do I have to write the address on it before I give it to you? You know all the stuff I can do online? Can you tell me how to do that here in the office while people are waiting? Today it's The Big Guy and Rusty, the Boy Robot, number 1 and 2, cover dated July and August, 1995, from Dark Horse Comics, written by Frank Miller, with art by Jeff Darrow, story by both of them. The title of our story is Rusty Fights Alone, and it features two characters who are rather, sorta, unknown. Even though they once had their own cartoon TV show on Fox Kids, but in the 17 years since, they've kinda hit the skids. The story starts in Japan, where there will be significant giant monsters, of course, and it begins in the command center of some scientific task force. They've got some kind of operation that will soon be unfurled, the greatest genetic experiment, they say, in the history of the world. So to create a huge living creature is their final goal, and someone asks, what is a living creature without a soul? They go through different steps. Amino acids they do add. One dude's pet monkey says he's got the jitters pretty bad. And things, of course, go wrong. Not part of their final plan. Well, this is a giant creature in the country of Japan. The creature comes together, all the parts and molecules. He starts to live, he starts to speak. First word he says is fools. So right there in the headquarters of the Itsubishi Corporation, a giant horned monster breaks free to threaten the entire nation. He crashes through the walls and lands down on the street below. Your lives are at an end. You are doomed, he starts to crow. This is a dangerous situation filled with destruction and great strife. All the people on the street are panicked, screaming, run for your life. The gnarled creature revels in the mayhem as he lets out a loud laugh. He says he's been waiting for a host body for ages to unleash his undying wrath. People don't know what to do as they run, terrified, down the street. The creature says he's finally free to kill and free to eat. Your one true purpose, to perish, dissolved, digested, is its quote, as he scoops up people by the bunch and shovels them down his throat. This giant monster sucks big time. He really is no fun. Say what you want about Godzilla, at least he never ate anyone. And to make matters worse, dripping out of his mouth is this awful pink goo, which lands on the people below, turning them into creatures too. As they turn into monsters, they go from feeling terror into glee, saying things like, we are one, we shall rule, it's our destiny. So far, it's just been page after page of this creature being cruel. But if you look at the amazing artwork of Jeff Darrow, it's pretty freaking cool. So the devastation continues as buildings are all knocked down, the Japanese military arrives, and they're not messing around. But to the giant creature, the helicopters are only like insects. With a few huffs of fire from his mouth, the choppers are soon all wrecks. And when he has to face all these tanks, he quickly becomes annoyed. With one giant blast of flames, all the tanks are soon destroyed. So it seems like Japan is defeated, at the end of their rope. But they're not going to quit. They have one last little hope. The military brings in one more weapon that they will give a shot. Why, it's a little boy, Rusty, the boy robot. The boy robot is tiny. What good is he against this giant creature, you may scoff? But he's gonna give it a try. He powers up and he blasts off. He zooms quickly over the city like a rocket, I note. Not like a Charles rocket, not slitting his own throat. He's excited, he thinks to himself, to be put into commission. This is his first deployment, in fact, his first mission. When Rusty arrives, the monster has the manners of a diplomat. You're right. He really swats the boy robot away like a gnat. Rusty flies through a building and crashes to the ground. He looks up in the air and sees a large foot coming down. The creature steps on little Rusty. He's squished into the street. It's the agony of defeat, thanks to the agony of the feet. The Japanese officials back at headquarters have all come and assumed that after the last attack, little Rusty is doomed. So before the creature destroys their buildings and kills them all, they hit one giant button that sends one last final call. On a US aircraft carrier, the message arrives from a Japan that's distraught. They turn on the big guy, you know, who's a big giant robot. So will Big Guy save Japan? Is that what he'll do? We'll just have to find out next in issue number 2. And we come to part 2 of our story. It's a humdinger, I'll tell you what. The title of the story explains itself. It's called The Big Guy Kicks Butt. With that creature attacking, Japan has issued an urgent plea. And it has arrived on the U.S. aircraft carrier while it is out at sea. The ship opens up. Here comes the big guy, we see one guy shout. In a puff of smoke, riding on a fat rocket, the big guy shoots out. He soon arrives in Japan and finds the creature in the middle of his rampage. Looking around at all the destruction, the damage is not hard to gauge. Big guy says, fix targets, lock weapons, open bomb doors, deploy. He's fixed in, concentrating on the giant creature he has to destroy. The big guy's ship flies around the creature, circling around in the air. But the creature has an inexhaustible supply of atomic breath. He shoots everywhere. So Big Guy gets off the big rocket, he deploys, and there he goes. He's got rockets on his back, and he flies right up the creature's nose. Once inside the nose, Big Guy detonates and blows up the creature's head. He stumbles over, crashes into a building, laying on the ground, seemingly dead. That would be a good time for him to deliver a pithy quip like Will Smith. But there's still all those little creatures left for Big Guy to contend with. So all the little creatures attack, the ones who used to be human. It's chaos, it's madness, madder than Alfred E. Newman. The smaller monsters are all over him, the situation is bizarre. Big Guy punches and pounds him and swings around a car. He swats them, he shoots some guns, and he even uses grenades. He does everything he has except cutting them up with blades. But he only wants to hurt them. But it's like climbing up a steep hill. He doesn't want to kill them because, like Soylent Green, they're people. And he's run out of weapons. It seems he's tried everything. So he decides to use one more thing, picking up a building. There's a McDonald's in the building, with a couple of people still inside. Big Guy drops it on the creatures, and somehow, we learn, no one has died. So with all the smaller creatures stunned, and laying in pain on the street, you know he'd come back from the dead, and I ain't talking about buckwheat. The big giant creature's back, and he's gonna crush Big Guy with his foot. But Big Guy's pretty mobile. He ain't staying put. Big Guy flies up and knocks over the creature with one big punch. He knocks over a building and lands on the ground with one big crunch. And remember that pink goo that causes great harm? The creature spits some of it out and it lands on Big Guy's right arm. His arm starts going crazy. What does he do? He draws a Blanco. Before he gets engulfed, he has to cut it off, just like James Franco. And then he has to fight his crazy arm, and he kicks it into a car. But then he gets grabbed by the giant creature. Big Guy cries out, "Arg!" Well, no one's gonna mistake this for one of the works of Shakespeare's. He falls into a subway tunnel, and to a train, which he quickly commandeers. And so with a large subway train in hand, he starts to advance. He flies through the creature, saying, "This is their last chance." He takes that long train, and he whips it around the creature's neck. I suppose at this point, I should compare this book to a train wreck. So with the train lasso around the creature's neck, Big Guy starts to fly. He tosses him into the ocean. And next, you suppose he's gonna die. With only a few pages left, you gotta figure his chances are abysmal. Especially when he lands and the US launches a nuclear missile. So there in the Pacific, the giant creature meets his doom. When the missile zooms in and hits the creature and the missile goes... And later, they have a celebration for Big Guy, who saved the day, for stopping that giant creature and his destruction and foul play. They decide to give Big Guy a gift, and guess what they got? They give him Rusty, you know. They give him a boy robot. They say that Rusty is a breakthrough in artificial intelligence. But as we saw earlier, he's not a breakthrough in civil defense. So now, Rusty and Big Guy are a team, just like Cagney and Lacey. But who needs a robot that looks like a boy, unless you're Kevin Spacey? Big Guy's gonna try to be nice, he doesn't really want to say no. But when he's called away, he quickly decides to go. He doesn't say much to Rusty, or stay, or take some bows. An alien has landed in Iowa, he's gotta go save some cows. He doesn't want a sidekick, at least, that's Big Guy's stance. But Rusty tries to follow, begging, "Give me a chance!" Big Guy reaches his ship, and quickly does he flee. But Rusty's still behind, saying, "He'll prove himself, you'll see." And that is the end, for now, they say. For now. But what they really mean is forever, because there was never another Big Guy and Rusty comic book ever. And that's the last, the two and only issues of Big Guy and Rusty, which seems to be an odd choice for this podcast because these two issues are basically just one long fight scene. There's not much to talk about. Other than the fact that the art by Jeff Darrow is friggin' fantastic. These two issues were like 32, 33 pages each, printed in an oversized editions, and large-scale, highly detailed scenes of destruction and mayhem as drawn by Jeff Darrow are amazing. I would recommend it just to look at the pretty pictures. One interesting thing that sets this apart from your standard Godzilla, King Kong, giant creature on a rampage story is that the creature here talks, and he talks a lot. This is one verbose son of a bitch here. He's also very cocky. He's a very cocky creature. He says things like, "I'm the greatest creature ever. I'm gonna destroy all you losers. Nobody can stop me. I'm the most powerful creature ever." He's like the Donald Trump of giant Japanese creatures. The thing that I find most fascinating about these two comics is somehow, some way, this was turned into a cartoon series also called Big Guy and Rusty the Boy Robot, which ran on Fox Kids from September 1999 to March 2001 for 26 episodes. And I'm kind of curious to see that series now, so I'm gonna go watch a little bit on YouTube. This is truly horrible. This is the worst theme song ever. I think I'll skip to the ending. So, yikes. That's a very generic looking cartoon. And that theme song made my ears bleed. I could only make it through a few minutes. So, back to the comic. Both issues, I really enjoyed them. On a scale of 1 to 2, I give them both a 2. And now in a segment called The Month I Read It, or in this case, The Months That I Read Them. As a teenager, as I mentioned last episode, I started keeping a list of all the comics I purchased every month, and after a year or so, I started to write them down in order from favorite to least favorite, which I've continued to do for 30 years. According to my lists, I purchased Big Guy and Rusty number 1 and 2 in July and August of 1995. In July, I purchased 41 comics, and my least favorite comic of that month was Magnus Robot Fighter 57, the old Valiant series. Oh yeah, it got pretty awful in the end there. Magnus and Valiant by 1995 were both terrible. I see that Magnus 57 was the last issue that I purchased, so it makes sense to be in last place here. In spots 36 to 40, all were Spider-Man books, part of the Clone Saga, also very terrible comics. My number one comic for July 95, oddly enough, was a Vertigo special called Prez, a book that I still have, and I enjoy. It's a very, very dated comic book, a very Generation Xer comic, that's for sure. It's super dated if you read it now. And Big Guy and Rusty number one landed at a respectable number 9. In August 95, I purchased 40 comics. The bottom four were all that month's issues of Amazing, Spectacular Web, and Adjectiveless Spider-Man. Ah, man, I hated that Clone Saga so much. Every month, four crappy comics that I hated. Which I stopped reading it after a while. Number one comic of the month for me was one of my all-time favorite DC and Marvel crossovers, the great Darkseid vs. Galactus by John Byrne. I'm not going to argue with that pick from 23 years ago. I like it. So, also, in August of 95, Big Guy and Rusty number 2 landed at number 8. So that's it for this episode. Coming in the next episode, I'm not sure what it's going to be. It's going to be a DC comic. If you have any questions about this podcast, about Big Guy, about Rusty the Boy Robot, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download episodes of my other podcast at iTunes, The Fantastic Forecast, at iTunes. You'll find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyed.